I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is the 5 o'clock report, 20 minutes of uninterrupted news commercial free. I'm Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story. Salt Lake City's mayor is vowing to extend the city's school mask mandate beyond its original 30 days. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has the story.
Every county in the state is back in the high transmission rate for COVID-19, but Salt Lake City Mayor Erin Mendenhall says she's especially worried about how kids are being infected. She says last week alone, over 1,300 kids between 5 and 11 got the virus, compared to just 95 children last year.
With every new day of data, things actually appear to be getting worse.
She cited data from University of Utah Health showing kids make up nearly a quarter of all cases.
In the worst of last winter, children only represented about 12% of infections.
Currently, she says, they're seeing 99% of kids wearing masks in schools. Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
And adding an exclamation mark to the mayor's mask request, University of Utah infectious disease doctor Andy Pavia points out the COVID rate in other Salt Lake County school districts is nearly double the rate in Salt Lake City. Utah is reporting more than 4,200 new COVID cases over the weekend, 4,200. 22% of the cases are school-aged children, and the state health department reports 16 more Utahns have died from COVID since Friday. Witnesses are describing a scary situation at a youth soccer tournament in Rose Park Saturday. They say a person got into a fight and pulled out a rifle. Hundreds of parents and kids at the regional soccer complex ran for their lives. It was pure chaos. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz has the story.
Erin Shepherd says for her, it started when someone playing against her son's team started yelling, "active shooter."
Everybody just started running crazy, you know, screaming for their kids and trying to find their kids.
She says they ran and hopped a fence on the south side of the complex.
Then there was houses on the south side and people started pounding on the doors, asking people to let them in. So there was about four houses that people just opened their doors and just let all these random teams in.
Salt Lake City police say this was a dispute between two people unrelated to the soccer games that turned physical first. They say it was not domestic. Police have not said what the relationship was between the people fighting. Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
Police are investigating whether there was a criminal act committed at that soccer field. A beautiful Sunday afternoon in Liberty Park was interrupted by the sound of gunfire. Police have arrested 18-year-old Patrocinio Perez on charges that he fired at least one shot at a crowd of people in the park. It's unclear if the shots were random or how far away Perez was when he allegedly squeezed the trigger. Nobody was injured in this second Liberty Park shooting incident in the past 2 weeks. Police in the nation's capital are on high alert ahead of a Justice for January 6th rally. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, Capitol Police will employ a new surveillance system as part of their post-January 6th upgrades. Chief Tom Menger says a number of other security measures will also be in place, including a giant fence.
The fence will go up a day or two before, and if everything goes well, it will come down very soon after.
The new surveillance system that is being used is on loan from the Army. Meantime, Capitol Police have arrested a man who had a machete and a bayonet in his truck near the Democratic National Committee headquarters. The truck had a white supremacist symbol painted on it and an American flag where there should be a license plate. Police say the officer pulled the driver over and found multiple illegal knives. The Justice Department has begun to release previously classified documents from investigations done into the 9/11 terror attacks. Deputy White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre tells reporters aboard Air Force One that the president hopes the documents will give victims' families closure.
As those reviews are completed, documents will be release publicly with the minimum possible redactions.
The FBI report from 2016 did not find any evidence that Saudi leaders were involved in the attacks, but did say Saudi nationals helped fund al-Qaeda. And congressional leaders marking the 20th anniversary of 9/11 today with a moment of silence. During a ceremony on the Capitol steps, they recalled how the country found a spirit of unity after the attacks. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chalaos, KSL News Radio.
A Sunday house fire in Syracuse is under investigation. Fire Chief Aaron Byington says five agencies, 27 firefighters, got the blaze under control yesterday.
When our crews arrived, they saw smoke and flames coming from the garage area. I was pretty well involved at that point.
Three people got out, but a small dog died. Officials estimate the damage at $200,000. And remember the Legacy Fire in Kaysville back on Friday afternoon? Well, it's now smoldering, 75% contained. Firefighters are watching the hot spots, and they're keeping an eye on the perimeter. KSL News Time 5:05. First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report. Lots going on. Here's Ricky Meese.
And it is emergency traffic in Tooele County where debris has closed the roadway eastbound I-80 at the 201 junction. You will be forced off the freeway to the 201. So plan on delays if you're traveling eastbound I-80. They stretch back to Lake Point. Slowdowns now setting in southbound I-15 going through Roy and Sunset. Delays continue northbound I-15 in Davis County, Layton to Clearfield. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 5 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services Electrical, Plumbing, Heating and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time 5:06. More refugees are coming to Utah from Afghanistan, and local leaders are gearing up to welcome them. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt takes a look.
It's Welcoming Week in Salt Lake County, an annual week-long celebration of the contributions of immigrants and refugees to local communities. And it comes as the state is preparing to resettle more people fleeing a bad situation.
As we've seen over the past month, one of the most pressing humanitarian crises of our time is happening in Afghanistan.
At an event kicking off Welcoming Week last week, International Rescue Committee of Salt Lake City Director Natalie Eldiri says they're ready to start welcoming new members of the community.
The IRC and our partners have robust infrastructure to help support refugees and other immigrant populations within Utah and within Salt Lake County. And we will do our best to extend that support to our newest neighbors from Afghanistan. But we can't do it alone.
Both the IRC and Catholic Community Services are asking for donations of things we all need to live comfortably. Cleaning supplies, toiletries, electronics, household goods, and even Visa gift cards. Both are also requesting monetary donations, as those can be stretched the furthest. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
A man driving drunk at nearly 100 miles an hour in southern Utah was pulled over and arrested yesterday before anything bad happened, thankfully. The San Juan County Sheriff's Office says the 25-year-old guy was pulled over at 99 miles an hour. In Monticello, the arresting officer says several open containers were found in the car. The driver failed multiple sobriety tests. Police say his blood alcohol content was four times the legal limit. Got to be careful. Watch out for these people out there. KSL News Time 5:08. My Minute of News is brought to you by Any Hour Services. Electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, anyhourservices.com. After tragic moments in American history, we've always been asked to remember what happened. In the 1800s, remember the Alamo. In the 1900s, remember Pearl Harbor. But we don't say remember 9/11. We say never forget. And there's a difference. Remember the Alamo almost sounds like a request. Through the lens of time, we hear remember Pearl Harbor, and as the greatest generation fades away, it seems less like a battle cry and more like a plea that a dark moment and souls lost hold their page in the history books as they have and as they should. But the vast majority of Americans only remember Pearl Harbor not as a visceral shock to the system, but as a story told by grandparents who struggled to share the raw emotion and the fear and the anger that spurred the country to great things, a story that can be retold, but the emotions can't be shared. We remember Pearl Harbor, but 9/11, we say, we demand never forget. In New York, the charity is the Never Forget Fund. Even the Clydesdale commercials over the weekend said, never forget, a statement of defiance about a brief moment of desperation and pain, and we won't forget, but our grandchildren might never remember. They can't feel what we felt, but I did find hope this weekend from, of all people, a teenage Canadian girl who just came from out of nowhere and played in the finals of the U.S. Open Tennis Championship and at the biggest moment of her young life. At center stage in New York City on September 11th, Layla Fernandez had the presence of mind to literally grab the mic and say this.
Oh, one more thing.
I know this. On this day, it was especially hard for New York and everyone around the United States. I just want to say that I hope I can be as strong and as resilient as New York has been the past 20 years.
She's only 19. There is some hope.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Yeah.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Eastbound I-80 closed at the 201 junction due to debris on the roadway that is being cleaned up. It's kind of a mess, so you're not going to be allowed to pass SR-201. You'll be forced off there as a detour. But for those who are trying to get out of Tooele County and come into the Salt Lake Valley, you will see eastbound I-80 delays back to Lake Point. Now, westbound I-80, that's fine, and that's fine all the way from I-15 right on out to Lake Point. In Salt Lake County, we do have just a little bit of busy traffic approaching and passing the I-215 junction. The rest of your Salt Lake County freeways are seeing a good drive. Michelle?
Well, we have a new crash on Bangor Highway. This is southbound about 1800 South. It's blocking a left lane. You're going to see delays both directions around the 201 freeway. A little more slowing as you're going through South Jordan. 201 freeway also still backed up, especially if you're headed eastbound through the Magna area. And I-15 in Utah County starting to fill in just a little around 2100 North in Lehigh. Steve?
Really nothing to slow you down right now. Northbound I-15 leaving from the downtown Salt Lake area. Davis County delays though waiting for you there at Hillfield Road by the mall up to about 700 South into Clearfield. Southbound I-15 got slowdowns from Roy to Sunset. And for those on northbound 89, pretty busy there at SR-193 up to I-84. And same for southbound 15 coming down the hill there through Uinta toward the I-84 ramps. Any hour services, electrical, plumbing, heating and air. If you've been putting off repair or maintenance projects around the house, they can help. Google Any Hour Services or visit anyhourservices.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. Kevin Eubank has the hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report. An hour-by-hour description as we head toward Tuesday.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, partly cloudy skies, temperatures in the low 80s. We'll stay there for 6 o'clock and then upper 70s for 7, mid-70s for 8, low 70s for 9. Ultimate lows will be in the low 60s under mostly clear skies. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
84 and partly cloudy in Salt Lake City. Sunset comes at 7:39 tonight. KSL News Time 5:12. And we go in depth now with Maria Chaleos.
Jeff, it turns out cows can be potty trained as easily as toddlers, maybe easier. Now, it's no bull. Scientists say 11 out of 16 cows learned to use the moo loo when they had to go. Now, just like some parents, the researchers used a sweet treat to coax the cows to push through a gate and urinate in a special pen. It took only 15 days to train the young calves. Some kids take quite a bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Lindsay Matthews, who is a behavioral scientist at New Zealand's University of Auckland, worked with colleagues on these tests. And he tells the Associated Press, what started out with a half-in-jest question on a radio talk show about the very real problem of livestock waste resulted in a serious study. He says, it wasn't just a, wow, this could be fun academic question. He says, massive amounts of urine waste is a serious environmental issue. That study published today in the journal Current Biology.
The Moo Loo.
The Moo Loo.
That is genius. Thanks, Maria. KSL News Time 5:13. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will host its first temple opening since the pandemic started. Deseret News reports the new Pocatello, Idaho temple is the sixth in that state, and a public open house will start this weekend and run through mid-October. KSL News Time 5:14. High School Musical, The Series, has been renewed for a third season on Disney Plus. But this season won't be filmed at East High or in Salt Lake City at all. Production is moving to L.A. as students in the series go away to sleepaway camp for summer break. Trending on social media, some people who died and had their brains frozen. They're going to be very disappointed when they come back. Well, Wait, they're not coming back. That's the point. At a cryogenic storage facility in Russia, the owner's ex-wife was so mad at him, she drained the liquid nitrogen and stole some of the brains, loaded them up on trucks. Police have recovered the brains from the back of a truck, but the ex-wife, Valeria Medvedev, is long gone. They can't find her. She's long gone, as are the people who were once attached to those brains. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
some scary moments at a youth soccer tournament Saturday in Rose Park. Police say a dispute between two people unrelated to the games turned physical and one pulled out a rifle. That sent crowds running for cover, thinking there was an active shooter. I'm KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz.
Second, a man was arrested this morning after police say he pointed a gun at two Logan High School students. The school was briefly locked down. The man is facing two counts of aggravated assault. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
That's going to be eastbound I-80 in Tooele County. It is closed at mile marker 101 due to debris on the roadway near the 201 junction. All traffic being forced off onto the 201 freeway. And you will see delays back to Lake Point on eastbound I-80. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
A few clouds this afternoon, temperatures in the 80s, but sunny skies are just around the corner. I'm Kevin Eubank.
It's 84 degrees. Now, KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The Gulf Coast is once again bracing for severe tropical weather. Tropical Storm Nicholas is expected to make landfall this evening near Batagorda Island in Texas with heavy rain, high wind, and life-threatening flash flooding. Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo.
I ordered our Emergency Operations Center to raise its activation level to level 2. It's the second highest activation level. That is as of 1 p.m. this afternoon.
Louisiana could also feel the impact just weeks after Hurricane Ida.
One of the things that could exacerbate the threat of flooding are all the ditches and catch basins and storm drains and so forth, all these drainage systems that have debris from previous storms that hasn't yet been cleaned up.
Governor John Bel Edwards. President Biden weighing in on raging wildfires as he pays a visit to the Bureau of Land Management's interagency fire center in Boise.
5.4 million acres burned. That's larger than the entire state of New Jersey.
Mr. Biden says firefighters deserve a pay raise. Secretary of State Antony Blinken told the House Foreign Affairs Committee that the Biden administration inherited a deadline to leave Afghanistan, but not a plan on how to do it. Some Republicans are calling for the secretary to resign. A transportation trade organization thinks a recommendation by Dr. Anthony Fauci is a prescription for failure.
The White House pushing to mandate vaccines for federal and private company workers, and now anyone traveling by air in the U.S.
If you want to get on a plane and travel with other people, that you should be vaccinated.
Dr. Anthony Fauci on the Skim podcast, the U.S. Air Travel Association says plane flight is safe as long as passengers wear a mask, and a mandate would be unfair to families with young children not yet eligible for the shot. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
You're listening to ABC News.
Now the KSL in-depth. Salt Lake City's Mayor Aaron Mendenhall wants the city council to extend the 30-day school mask mandate. She held a news conference outside the city and county building this morning.
20 days ago, our city's school children started their first day of school in Salt Lake City School District with the requirement in place that they wear life-saving masks. Today, I am encouraged to report that our school children in Salt Lake City School District appear to be healthier and better able to stay in in-person learning than any other kids in Salt Lake County. According to Dr. Angela Dunn and available data from the Salt Lake County Health Department, at 57 new cases per 10,000 population, Salt Lake City School District has the lowest rate of COVID-19 cases since the first day of school among the county's five school districts. Equally encouraging is the communication that I receive and spoke with Dr. Gadsden again this morning, that there is overwhelming compliance, around 99.8% of students wearing those life-saving face coverings. They're also observing as educators that wearing the masks does not seem to be impacting students' ability to engage or to socialize.
That's Salt Lake City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall. City Council is going to meet tomorrow to discuss whether to end the school mask mandate or extend it another 30 days. KSL News Time 519. Emergency traffic here, a Triple Team report brought to you by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Ricky Meese, go ahead.
Eastbound I-80 remains closed in Tooele County due to debris in the road. All traffic forced off at the 201 junction and delays are back to Lake Point. As far as travel on the 201 itself, we are starting to see some eastbound heavy and slow traffic going through Magna, approaching 7200 west, but overall not too bad. I-15 northbound in Salt Lake County, heavy and slow between 5300 and 33rd south. Southbound I-15, a little bogged down between 53rd and 72nd south, Midvale. Michelle?
Well, we're still seeing some leftover delay. This is southbound Bangor Highway approaching the 201 freeway. Looks like we got that crash about 1800 south cleared, but you're still going to see a little bit of delay in the area. A little more slowing as you're going through South Jordan, and for drivers on I-15 in Utah County, a little bit of delay there again as well as you're going through American Fork. Steve?
Now we have a traffic accident on 33rd South at about 3rd East in South Salt Lake right now. Meantime, northbound 15, rolling free and clear. Nothing to slow you down leaving downtown Salt Lake City. Traffic, though, thick in Davis County from Layton into Clearfield. Southbound side of I-15, sluggish between Roy and Sunset. And northbound 89, bogged down at SR 193. And also southbound Highway 89, slow through Uinta from Skyline Drive down to I-84. Take control of your financial future at Women in the Money, Utah Financial Empowerment Conference. Friday, October 8th, in person and online. Limited seating available. Register today at womeninthemoney.org. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together on the Dines, and the 7-day forecast comes from Kevin Eubank.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Well, a few clouds lingering over Utah, northern Utah this afternoon as a weak little front's draped over the state. That little front will exit the northeast corner overnight. Skies will clear with a low of 60 degrees. All week long, it's looking beautiful. Tons of sunshine, temperatures going from the mid-80s to the upper 80s. We'll kind of park there all the way through the week and into the weekend. We may see a little bit of smoke start moving in, but not for a couple days. Looks like Friday or Saturday. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
Keep that smoke out of here. It's 83 degrees in Salt Lake City. Beautiful, clear skies, and you've been listening to the 5 o'clock report. We're brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air. AnyHourServices.com. KSL News Time 522.
Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News. Only on KSL News Radio.
This is Derek Miller speaking on business. The Wasatch Front Regional Council builds consensus and enhances quality of life by developing and implementing visions and plans for a well-functioning multimodal transportation system, livable communities, a strong economy, and a healthy environment. Executive Director Andrew Gruber is here to tell us more.
The Wasatch Front Regional Council brings government, business, and community leaders together from across our region to plan for the future. According to the most recent census data, Utah is the fastest growing state in the nation. We need to plan ahead to maintain and even enhance the quality of life for Utahns, even as we grow. Community leaders from across the region have collaborated to develop the Wasatch Choice Vision, a blueprint for the future that addresses transportation, housing, open space, and economic opportunities. The vision plans for all of these elements together, so the location of housing, jobs, and educational opportunities is coordinated with where we put roads, trails, and transit lines. How and where we grow matters, and the Wasatch Choice Vision will help us keep a high quality of life now and for future generations.
The members of the Wasatch Front Regional Council facilitate collaboration within our communities as they proactively plan for the future and put those plans into action. You can learn more about the Wasatch Front Regional Council and its goals at WFRC.org. I'm Derek Miller with the Salt Lake Chamber, speaking on business.
At KSL, we're watching out for every road, bridge, construction site, and interstate highway to keep you moving. Get Triple Team traffic every 10 minutes on the Nines.
Mornings and afternoons.
On KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
Hello, car donation hotline.
Hey.
I'd like to donate a car to the Utah Kidney Foundation. Are you in Utah?
Awesome. Let's get some info and we'll send you a tow truck.
But I want my car donation to benefit my neighbor in Farmington who needs a transplant. Are you in Utah?
That's an awe. I'm in SoCal. But you're still donating to charity.
What charity?
Does it matter?
Yes, I want my donation to stay in Utah.
Righteous, dude. You need to call Tow Cars in Utah. Locals only, am I right?
Oh, yeah. I remember Tow Cars with a K like kidney. It's on a billboard somewhere. TOWKARS.ORG. That's it. TowCars.org.
If you'd like your vehicle donation to help Utah kidney patients in the Beehive State, please use the web address on their billboard, TowCars.org, to donate your old car or truck. That's TOWK, like kidney, ARS. TowCars.org.
We're watching Utah's Money at KSL. Crypto news, Litecoin dropped 3% after Walmart announced a reported partnership with Litecoin was fake. Global Newswire reported a deal last year where Walmart would accept Litecoin as payment, but Walmart says, nah, didn't happen, not true. KSL drives renting a car will continue to be expensive for quite some time. The LA Times reports it could be well into next year before rental agencies are able to restock their fleets. The trade group backing Kellogg, Campbell Soup, and Coca-Cola is sharing some worries about the president's new vaccine mandate. The Consumer Brands Association says it wants to help get people vaccinated, but it has a long list of questions about the details. On Wall Street today, the Dow jumped 261 points to 34,869. The S&P added 10. The Nasdaq lost 9 points. And we have Jeopardy news, and for once, it's good Jeopardy news.
Jeopardy's longtime home has a new name.
It will now forever be known as the Alex Trebek Stage.
The soundstage on the Sony Pictures studio lot in Culver City, California, was dedicated to longtime Jeopardy host Alex Trebek ahead of Monday night's premiere of the new season of the show. Trebek's wife and kids were on hand for the dedication. It's the start of the first full season without Trebek in 37 years. He died of pancreatic cancer last November. Monday night's first guest host is Mike Richards, who was named host and then resigned amid scandal. Jason Nathanson, ABC News. Hollywood.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.